It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Jay here from Straight for Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Joe Smith. You all right, son?
Fucking great.
Hey?
I am great. I feel so good.
You're washing your hands, sir.
Washing my hands of all the negativity of the season. That's what I'm washing. One of those three-in-one washes that you get on a train.
Love that.
Water, juice, and air all built into one.
Perfect.
What a day, Jay. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. I don't often say that this season as a United fan. Also, as always, because he's part of the furniture on this podcast now, is my good friend, Mr. Ronaldo Brown. Yeah. Ronnie, let's just... Obviously, you can probably see from the thumbnail, you'll know we're still going to be talking about yesterday's game. We're probably going to talk about yesterday's game for at least the next 2 weeks, at least the Brentford game. Why not? We're going to revel in it.
It's the perfect result going into an international.
It is, isn't it? You can relax. You've beaten Liverpool. You're still in the FA Cup. You've stopped all that nonsense about them winning a quadruple, which they always seem to be up for a quadruple, don't they? They never seem to win it.
It's like just, Arsenal used to do it every year, didn't they? Like, in January, they're like, oh my God, there's a treble on here. And then by the end of January, they win the FA Cup.
It's just been one of them. So it was just perfect because we'd be sat here now absolutely deflated. But we're not. We're elated because we got the win. Make sure you are getting involved in the chat and the comments. Now, one thing I love about beating Liverpool isn't just the feeling that you get from the win, the goals, the excitement.
The fact you're looking forward
to a very winnable FA Cup semi-final clash against Coventry City. It's the meltdown that only Liverpool fans can do. Like, no one has a meltdown quite like... Arsenal fans are close, but I still think they're amateurs compared to Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
Liverpool fans meltdown like no one else.
Because I don't think it's biblical. Arsenal fans, because they've been so poor for so long, I say so poor, I know they won a few FA Cups, but Liverpool fans think they're at the top of the tree now again.
Yeah.
So there's an entitlement to them that you don't quite get with Arsenal. Arsenal haven't re-found their entirement.
They're just a bit grimy though, aren't they?
They are.
I've never seen anything like the meltdown when Liverpool got beat, I think it was in Kiev, by Real Madrid, and you had a guy who used to be in Brookside offering Sergio Ramos out for a fight for a charity boxing match, you remember?
I do.
And it was like, me and you in the ring for charity, you're a coward, so you won't accept it. And I thought, he won't accept it because A, he doesn't know who you are, B, he's out celebrating he's just won another European Cup or Champions League.
Yeah.
And C, that is insane.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight a 60-year-old who used to be on Brookie.
I think the most insane...
What?
The most insane part of that sentence is if you don't accept this, you're a...
I know you won't accept it because you're a coward.
It's proper like doing that thing where people say, oh, you always have to have the last word, don't you?
Yeah.
Because then if you don't say anything, then you've lost. And if you say it, you've lost.
Yeah.
You've proved it right. Like, it's just one of those impossible traps. If you don't accept this, you're a coward. Of course he's not going to accept it.
Because
he's not a coward. He hasn't seen it.
Utterly insane for him to accept. I remember reading that and thinking, is this real?
Yeah.
And I looked on the guy's account and it was him, and he was in Brookside like 8 years ago or something, and he was literally offering out the Real Madrid captain because he pulled Mo Salah. I've never seen anything like it. And we've seen a little bit of that post yesterday's quarterfinal game. We've seen a bit of Ed losing and all the rest of it. And like, let's get one thing straight, right? I'd be losing my head if United lost in that fashion. I'd be angry. I'd be all the rest of it. I've done it a few times where I've, you know...
Especially, it's not like we've not been rubbing the salt in a wound. Twitter's been hilarious.
You've been really going for it as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've gone out of your way to be annoying for Liverpool.
After the game, all I did for the next couple hours was just wind up tweet after wind up tweet, because there's nothing better than beating them. No. Like, honestly, I don't think I've ever been that happy.
Are we allowed to read them out, or are they okay?
They're literally okay, but it's not just me. It's like the tweets of the other United fans. That the Onabanga ones, some of them are hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I love that.
One of yours, Ronaldo, is so sort of just so childish. It's like a 10-year-old's insult, but it's got 4,500 likes, right? So it's obviously done very well. And it's just... quadruple talk when there isn't a scouser alive that can count to four. You are a 9-year-old.
Yeah,
you are literally just struggling for your sats.
You smell. It's so daft. Yeah. But like, if I see that, that's about United, right? I see that from some Liverpool YouTuber. I'd just be like, ignore that nonsense, right? Because that's just obviously not true. And he's just not like, he's trying to get a rise out of it. But loads of people are buying. The only thing I don't like about that is like when you do it and then people buy it and then other United fans get involved and it's like you just set off a chain reaction you can't control and you're just like,
It turns into a huge mass argumentative debate like, under your seat.
I might just mute this one. But it was good that we're firing shots at other teams and our rivals. And, if you can go and check out the documentary we did on the history and the rivalry between United and Liverpool, I hate some of this faux rivalry. Like, Arsenal was more about the football in the 90s and the fact that their fans are just, a bit daft on social media. City, there's always that derby rivalry. Leeds, we hate them, but they're never in the same league as us anyway, so it's a bit difficult to have it. Liverpool is proper. It is a proper rivalry. And part of that is because even if you don't like Liverpool, which none of us do, you got to at least admit they are a big club. That is the other biggest, that is the second biggest club in England, the second most successful club in the Premier League. So you can't argue about it. You can't say, okay, it's like, they've not just come into money and all of a sudden it's a bit sort of, sports washing FC or whatever. They are a proper club with a big fan base, which adds to it. It makes it a more intense rivalry. And it's great when you beat them. There's no feeling like it. And I think that it couldn't have gone in a more perfect way. That you were saying that was better than just beating them 2-0.
And I especially loved it? I was so... Do you know that 20-minute period, or was it a 10-15-minute period in the second half where... it felt like they just kept the ball.
They did. It wasn't that long, but there was a bit where, particularly, their fans were like almost. They weren't quite Olaying, but it was getting there.
I think they approached. They approached that game thinking they already won it. I feel like there was an air of arrogance and complacency to the way that Liverpool played. So when we were 2-1 down and they were still like doing the whole Ole football, passing it side to side, not really going forward. Slowing the game down, taking forever with throw-ins and free kicks and on goal kicks and corner kicks. When we come back and win, I was so fucking buzzing about it because I was getting so annoyed by the way that they kind of approached that. And it was just like, it almost bit them in the arse a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was almost me getting frustrated at United too, because I felt like they were there for the taking. Because especially after the first 20 minutes or so. It wasn't like a perfect performance, but there was more than enough in terms of the energy and the gear that we were playing at compared to them. That I felt like if we got a goal, the momentum and the crowd would go for it and then we'd get another. And that's exactly what happened. But I did want to say, the second half, I was getting so fucking pissed off at the way that the game was going and the way that they were playing, that it made the actual victory at the end so much more sweeter. And I couldn't have had it any other way.
No, 100%. And you know what, right? You can see, like, if you can be bothered, if you go back through town, I sort of stumbled across a few tweets during the game, not from me. I tweeted at half time. I was at the game. I tweeted at half time.
Yeah.
But I said this game is still there to be won. Just put your dummies back in and get on with it, because Liverpool haven't been that great. But I remember I saw a few tweets when I got home last night, and it was like when Klopp high five Kobe Mainoo or whatever, and people, United fans, losing their head on that. What's he doing? Like, because at the time, really angry. And like, obviously, that's nothing. That's completely meaningless. Manager's just high-fiving a player that he kind of respects or whatever. Doesn't mean him, or shaking his hand. But like, because you're in that zone of, I think at the time we were losing or whatever, and people like, and that's how Liverpool fans are after the game, where just everything is unbelievably annoying to you and you're frustrated and you start saying things that you probably would get. We've got a couple of things that have been said here. Jamie Carragher, who... One thing I will respect about Jamie Carragher is he is a Liverpool fan. He wears it out on his sleeve.
He's an Everton fan.
Well, he used to be an Everton fan. Then obviously Liverpool paid him a lot of money to play for him every week, so he became a Liverpool fan. And he acts like a Liverpool fan. On his commentary, he's a Liverpool fan. I don't mind that as much, because at least he's open about it. And it annoys me a little bit that Gary Neville's a bit more sort of on the fence. But he had a little bit of a mad one yesterday. Because the Gakpo one, I misread it at first. He tweeted about Cody Gakpo, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he said that he plays like the game is in slow motion. And at first, I thought that might have been a compliment.
Yeah, saying, like, people
like
say
he slows the game down almost. Yeah, the game slows down around him.
In slow motion. People use that as a compliment, don't they, sometimes?
But I don't think he was, because Gakpo had a bit of a stinker.
Yeah.
And certainly all the replies are not going, oh, yeah, you're right, Jamie, he does his ace. All the replies are saying, you're right, Jamie, he's, for what I saw, he's terrible. And to single out a player.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Like that was a bit odd and a bit off-brand for him, considering he's got ties to the club and he's got a pundit. And you'd think if that was an insult, which I presume it was, someone like Jurgen Klopp, for example, let alone the player himself, wouldn't be happy about that. And they'd be like, hang on a minute, what are you doing? And you got to be careful with that, because Klopp's very volatile.
Yeah, someone of Carragher's status, especially when it comes around Liverpool Football Club, him saying that and tweeting that, would have got to Gakpo basically straight after the game.
Yeah.
Or they would have seen it in the changing room.
No,
what I mean?
I wouldn't be surprised if we see some sort of retraction or apology or explanation from Jamie Carragher there, because I think that could come back to hurt him, like, genuinely. Because
I do agree with him, though. Gakpo's arse.
I mean, you've never rated him, have you?
I've never rated him. And when he came on, I was slandering him, because I almost thought when he came on, I thought, yeah, that's even better for us. And it ended up proving
true.
Who did
he come on for? I can remember. It wasn't Salah, was it?
I think it might have been.
I can't remember.
I just knew, like, everything was breaking down on him. He was slowing the game down so much, that's why he's a slow ball. They had, like, a few breakaways where it was, like, 3v3s, and he just kept making the wrong decision. And I was like, thank God he's playing. But I just think he's a bang average player, and I think United have dodged a bullet with not signing.
Yeah, because we were linked quite heavily.
Yeah, it was Salah.
Was it Salah? Yeah. The weird thing was with Salah as well, he wasn't himself. But he got his goal, which he's gone from never scoring against us to always scoring against us, which is annoying. But you could see he wasn't quite out. He gave the ball away a few times early doors. You know, he didn't look at it.
Wan-Bissaka did a fantastic job on him as well. I think that's worth mentioning. Wan-Bissaka basically man-marked him, didn't he, while he was playing. And other than the goal that he got, which was a sort of fortunate, and, you know, he was in the right position, and you get that look when you're a good player and you stand in the right areas. But it was a fortunate rebound off the goalkeeper. Salah did nothing.
No.
And Wan-Bissaka, who's not played in 2 months or whatever it is, to just shut out. I know Salah's also been coming back in, but he played midweek, so he's got some minutes under his belt. He's not fresh back like Wan-Bissaka was. To do that, I thought it was a fantastic performance from Wan-Bissaka, and one that's gone under the radar a little bit because of what Garnacho did and what Mainoo did, and, you know, certain other people as well. But I thought Wan-Bissaka, while he was playing, while he was fit, was fantastic yesterday.
No, I agree, and it's great to see these kind of players. And, you know, listen, Wan-Bissaka played very well at Wembley last season, then in the semi-final and in the final, in the Carabao Cup final and the semi-final against Brighton. Obviously, Coventry City is, you know, an easier game, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets some sort of minutes there, just to sort of, you know, as a reward almost. But he's a good player, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Defensively, he's sound. And going forward, he's not as atrocious as some make out. Some make out like he's this guy that couldn't trap a bag of sand or whatever. He's not that bad. He's just not as good as some of his contemporaries going forward.
He's actually, he's got that little bit, I don't know, he's in basketball, right? You've got someone like Luka Doncic, and he's got almost like an irky-jerky style to his game, like where it's a little bit off rhythm, and it can look aesthetically not that pleasing on the eye, but it can be quite effective.
Yep.
And I think there's some sort of similarities with that and the way that Wan-Bissaka plays, where it doesn't look pretty or natural in a sense, but his style sometimes is awkward for opposition to get almost a beat on when he has the ball, because he quite often actually does like wriggle out of danger. He kind of can skip past the player. He sometimes has an awkward little body fate. And I don't think he's that bad in terms of his ball progression as it may look. And I thought yesterday was a definite example of that, because he was playing left back as well, where the angles are completely different. And I thought he might have a problem in terms of things being on his left side, or if he gets shown down his left foot, because you don't really see him use his left foot very often. No. But I thought he was very good in that sense. It wasn't just him being defensively against Salah. I thought he stepped in very well. I thought he he got a decent amount of service to Rashford and Mainu down the left side. And Wan-Bissaka coming off an injury and playing like that against Liverpool in such a game.
Mm. Because in our predicted 11, I think I had Wan-Bissaka starting at right back and the low, maybe.
Yeah, I'm surprised it was that way around, but it makes sense when you think of it as a one-on-one mark job.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't put Dalot on Salah and say stick to him the way you would with Wan-Bissaka.
No, it makes perfect sense.
I do love right-footed left-backs playing against the left-footed inverted winger.
We saw that as well, Dalot against Saka.
Against Saka,
One of the best I've seen anyone handle Saka, since he sort of...
It's mad we've got these two right-backs who are actually mint. They are. The low-end Wan-Bissaka, we've got to give them credit. Like, they're walking up a lot of teams, them two. I just feel that maybe they've not got the credit, especially Dalot. He's finally getting his flowers off a lot of fans who just refuse to recognise
him. I tweeted, I said, I've never sold my Dalot stocks.
No, you haven't.
I've been backing Dalot for a long time because even when he's had periods of not playing well, just from like even eye test wise, when I look at him as a player and I'm breaking down his attributes and his physical attributes as well as his technique, there's nothing missing from a modern day fullback. There's nothing missing as a modern day fullback in Dalot's repertoire. In my opinion, he's got pace. He's a brute. He's quite powerful.
Yeah, he's quite big as well.
He's quite big.
He's not a small guy.
He's technically sound. Yep. Dalot's really good in the air. I think he's really underrated in the air as well. He's a good 1v1 defender. I think the days of him getting twisted by Danjuma and Zaha are past him. I think he's improved in that instance. And in terms of weaknesses to his game, I think it's just basically the mental side of it, which is consistency and focus. I think outside of that, Dalot's got everything. Mm. But unfortunately, them things that I've just mentioned in terms of consistency and focus, they are two very important intangibles when it comes to being a footballer.
We saw, didn't we, where he's never really been like first choice right back for United the whole time he's been here. Yeah. You know, really, he's had sort of back and forth. He's had playing where people are injured. He's had managers who liked him, managers who didn't like him. But I think the start of the season was basically the first time where he's had, you are going to play every week if you're fit. And... So sort of 2 or 3 months into that, when everyone else around him was getting injured and he was, for a while, the only first choice player that was even fit, then we started to see those sort of lapses in concentration coming against Newcastle, and was it Chelsea as well, where he sort of turned off and switched off. Then I feel like we had that international break, or it's not even an international break, the sort of Premier League break over the winter, that 2 weeks off. And since then, he's not really put a foot wrong in about 4 months.
And one of the best things about him exceptional. Is what we talk about all the time and we moan about the low... quite obviously loves playing for Manchester United.
Yeah, he does.
And you can see it.
Yeah,
that's and that's important. Do you know
why? Was it the friendly? I was in Norway, the friendly there. I think it was against Atletico. And it's only little things, but it matters. Like, he comes running out and he gives his shirt to someone at the end, like to one of the kids in the crowd. He just sees, you know what I mean? Yeah. He gets it. And I know that's a criticism, or that's some people say he gets it, but he's not good enough. But I think he is good enough, and he gets it, which matters.
It's also his birthday today, by the way.
Yeah, we wished him happy birthday. We're wishing one now on camera. Everyone look have a wide. Happy birthday, Diogo, if you're watching.
25 years old today.
Yeah, 25,
same age as me, that's mental.
Unbelievable.
Go through some of the chat and the comments before we move on to something else.
Yes, Leo Yoff is a new member of the Academy. Thank you very much. Michael Dyson has been a member for 25 months. Says, weird fact, Dynamo Moscow were founded by the Russian secret police. They exiled the CSKA Moscow manager to Siberia because he was too successful. I don't know if that's true, but if it
that
is,
was, that
that's
was
an
it,
astonishing
was it Beria, fact. The guy who was like the head of the secret police, who was a Dynamo Moscow fan?
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I think that there might be some truth into that.
Bidu King Eric says, as a certain... what? As a certain Kamala Harris said to a toxic positive Joe about knocking out the Scousers, we did it, Joe.
Beautiful.
Do you know what
beautiful.
I mean?
That's what she was saying on the phone that time when she said, we did it, Joe.
Yeah, that's what she meant.
Yeah.
Clayton M says, thought Onana was class yesterday. The keeper we thought we bought 7 months ago came through the patchy bit. Top notch, my opinion. Your thoughts? I think he's been excellent since the turn of the year. I think we're looking at close to 3 months of real top level goalkeeping. And, you know, before that, it was very patchy, I'll give you that. But I think he's been consistent since 2024 started as one of the better keepers in the league, and with his feet he's one of the best.
I thought he had a good game yesterday.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think a lot of their shots again that he saved were ones, they were near post shots. He probably expects him to save them, but he did, and I thought he commanded his area at times when it was a bit ropey, we needed him to come for certain balls, and he did. And I was getting a little bit frustrated with some of the playing out from the back, and that's not his fault, But sometimes it was like with the whole Varane and Lindelof and just giving it away basically and inviting pressure, that was all silly. But I don't blame the goalkeeper for that. So no, I agree with you. I think he's in a very good spell and I think he deserves his flowers.
Yeah, I want to talk a bit more. Gary Neville. Jamie Carragher has been popping off even more, fighting with Rio Ferdinand. We'll get to that in a minute. But before that,
okay,
I want to talk about today's sponsor, Manscaped.
Yes, Manscaped, right? We have been waiting for this for centuries.
10,000 years?
Right, as long as the Scousers have been waiting for a quadruple, we have been waiting for this jump forward in grooming technology, below the waist grooming technology. And thankfully, Manscaped now have got you covered because they have released the brand new Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. It is incredible.
It actually is incredible, if I'm honest.
Been sort of waxing lyrical about a 4.0 for quite some time now, rightly so.
We don't need to wax anymore,
good pun,
exactly. Now you don't have to wax, lyrically or otherwise, because Manscaped have got you covered. Using the code DEVILS20, you will get 20% off and free shipping. Because, Joe, we've all been there, whether it's waxing, whether it's burning, whether it's whatever other medieval way we can do it, of trying to trim down there.
Bandsaw on a string.
Yeah, it is just not the way. And Manscaped came in and he said, no, forget all that. Trust us, we've got you covered.
Yeah.
And now they've moved a step forward, a bigger step forward. And the thing I like about this, is you're getting the 5.0 Ultra, you're getting that big jump forward in below the waist grooming technology, but you've also got the things that you love and trust, the crop preserver, the crop toner, the weed whacker 2.0, you've got the shed travel bag, you've got all that stuff, haven't you? Because you like all that, don't you?
You don't want it
to go anywhere.
Well, I use the deodorant all the time. I think, you know, it's one of your high sort of scent zones, isn't it? If we're honest, the armpit, the nook of the genitals.
Yes.
The bit where ball meets
the nook of the genitals. Wasn't that the name of your band in high school?
Well, no, it was actually a freestyle slam poetry movement that I tried to create. It was based off the back of the Taming of the Shrew.
Of course.
So the nook of the genitals. These are your high bacteria, high scent areas. And for a long time, it's been neglected.
Yeah.
And now the thing with Manscaped is, they're a company that from the very start was built for your groin. All these other companies go, oh, we already do this, we already do that. Let's try and capitalize on this market. Manscaped have started with this and they have built it from the ground up for your boys downstairs. So use the code DEVILS20 to get 20% off and free shipping. The link is in the description. We'll put the link in the chat as well. So you can click on that. Go and check it out. Great for gifts. Great for you. Go and check Manscaped out. Your balls will thank you. Razmeister with one of the most transparent either jokes or attempts to sort of wind us up I've ever seen.
Go on.
Thoughts on this? I think Mainoo is all hype and just playing well due to the players like McTominay making him look good.
Brilliant. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So good.
Brilliant.
That's so good. That's that one of the favourite Super Chats we've ever had.
That is class.
Yeah. It's just beautiful, that, isn't it? It's written so well. Here he goes. Did Mainoo score? No, McTominay did. He spelt McTominay wrong, so I'm not sure he knows who that is. But
I love that. And he speaks facts.
It does.
It's true.
It literally is.
Do you think McTominay sort of understood it, quickly, on Mainoo.
At best.
I think Ian Wright was banging on about him after the game, saying, Southgate, you've got to take him to the Euros and all that. Do you think it's becoming impossible not to?
I think
because
he
can't
like that
put performances in like that, and then
some of the
not
dribbling
make
and the
play.
Getting out of tight spaces yesterday was like another level to what
you're
I've
looking
seen.
At. I know you don't like this word, but I know you'll have it with him. Yeah, generational. Like, come on, like he's doing things that come on, man.
You know what's mad about him? He's a true unicorn, isn't he? Because Mainoo can almost play as a six, as a 10, as an 8, we've seen him play right back in pre-season and did that really well against Arsenal in pre-season. He could probably play wide as well, just by his dribbling ability alone if you want a little bit of a different style. And that is almost like a testament to how good of a player he is. But I think one of the things that impresses me the most about Mainoo, especially when it pertains to playing for England and the excuse that Southgate used for not picking him. I think he mentioned a bit of experience or
he was, to be fair, he was complimentary Southgate. He said, but he's had a handful of games, I think was his reason.
I was kind of thinking that if there's anyone that's a youngster that you feel like could go to Euros with England and not just be obviously good enough, which he is, but also being mentally ready and mentally good enough, it's Kobbie Mainoo, because one of the most impressive things about him has been his temperament. He almost seems like
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He's been there before. Mm. Everything yeah. about the way Kobe Mainoo plays is like he's almost had a career before.
It does. It looks like they've in the future they've worked out a way to transport players back in time, and they've just sort of sent Clarence Seedorf in someone else's body back.
Region.
To sort of pretend that he's never, I'm an 18-year-old, I'll be a bit quiet and you'll never know. But he's clearly played sort of 700 career games to be playing the way he is now. I've never seen an 18-year-old this composed and this
doesn't
smooth,
it, does it?
Nothing yeah. does.
It's like it's I'm still playing for the under-15s or yeah. whatever. It's not like I'm playing in the quarter-final FA Cup against Liverpool.
Yeah.
He's just like, and you saw that in pre-season, like Arsenal game, didn't you? Because everyone was like, look at him against Arsenal. This kid just looks like he's been playing for United the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So... I just feel that now, if Southgate don't take him, it's unforgivable. genuinely. I mean, he should be starting, let alone in the squad. He's got to take him.
Mm.
And this nonsense about... didn't Southgate come out and say something like Jordan Henderson, what he's done at Ajax? Ajax, I think, have not won a game unless they won one at the weekend with Jordan Henderson in the team. They're going through one of the worst spells in their history since he's arrived there. I'm not saying it's all his fault. We can't say, he's turned it around for him, because he hasn't. Mm.
I've heard they've been terrible, but they got slightly better when he started playing.
Well, the results. Yeah. So I mean, I've not been watching. I've just been looking at the results.
I think Ajax have been that bad that
I don't know if they won recently. I've not checked recently.
They drew yesterday.
Well, you go through their recent results.
So they drew yesterday. They lost 4-0 to
Villa.
To Villa. Then they drew again. Then they drew to Villa. Then they beat Ajax. Then they lost to AZ Alkmaar. They beat Utrecht.
Right, sorry. So they've not lost all the games.
They won one before that. Then they drew two and lost one before that. Like, since the start of Feb, it's been, I think, two wins and about six or seven not wins.
It's not been great. I mean, listen, no. I've not watched loads of him. I mean, you might be right. He might have been playing quite well. But, you know, playing in a struggling Ajax team or being one of Manchester United's best players as we're beating teams and, you know, not doing well every week, but he's doing well every week. It's a no-brainer.
And also, even at his best 5-6 years ago, he's not that good.
He's
quite good. He does everything 6 out of 10. But he's not someone who's like, oh my God, he's undroppable.
Look at those feet.
We've got Zidane in midfield, so we've got to build around him. He's okay, but Rice is far better than him. Bellingham's far better than him. He's the worst one of that three and would have been, even if you put prime Jordan Henderson into this midfield, he'd still be the worst.
He's not
like he's, oh my God, I can't believe it. He's a decent player who's way past his best. Why would you not bring Mainoo in?
And also, I think who's the other midfielders that are in there as well?
Like, I mean, Calvin Phillips tends to get a slot, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Madison's
different, and he's much more attacking than Kobe Mainoo.
Yeah,
I think from a double pivot standpoint, there really isn't any other CMs apart from the likes of Rice. Even Bellingham's an attacking midfielder now.
So the midfielders, I think, are Bellingham, Gallagher, Henderson, Cole Palmer, and Rice.
Yeah, you've got to take him over Henderson for me.
Yeah.
Just have.
And like you said, Ronaldo, he's different to all of them. Cole Palmer has been exceptional this season, but he's not someone who's going to sit deep in a game. He's a sort of freestyle attacking kind of player. Conor Gallagher's a bit more industrious, a bit deeper, but he's not a ball player. He's a work rate based player, isn't he? You know, he's someone that sprints around and is energetic and difficult. If you've already got that a little bit in Bellingham, who's someone who sort of marauds around the pitch and you don't want to pin him down to one place. You've got Rice who can do a bit of both, and then you to put Mainoo next to him I think would be perfect. And you know, this isn't a diss at Mainoo at all, but the players in his way aren't particularly good. So it's actually quite a good time for him to come through as well from that perspective. It's not Gerrard, Lampard, Carrick, Scholes in front of him.
No.
It's Conor Gallagher and Jordan and a 35-year-old Jordan Henderson. Like, this is a perfect time to do it. He has to take him. Whether he's 33-year-old Jordan Henderson. Whether he
That changes
plays him or not. He'll be 34 by the time the tournament rolls around.
He's 33 till he's 34.
Exactly. I think for me, Kobe Mainoo's got to go to the Euros. He's got to.
Listen, I get the point that some people are going, just keep him away from that England circus, keep him away from Gareth Southgate. But in terms of ability, in terms of merit, in terms of the best players available, and should you pick him if you want to win the most amount of football matches, then yes, he should be in the squad. That's obvious. And also, playing for Manchester United is a bigger deal than playing for England. It is. Like, if you're a regular for Manchester United, I think that's a bigger stage than just playing for England. I do. You know, I know people say, oh, playing for your country is the pinnacle of football. No, it ain't. It's not. Like, I'm sorry, it just isn't. Like, look, some of those players, right? I mean, now United are in a bit of a dark time, but some of those players still won't get in United team. They wouldn't. And, like, you've had it over the years where, like, players who've been in the Championship have got England caps. And it's like, I just don't agree with this whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can bite you on that one, Jay. But
nah, I don't think it is. I think playing for United is a bigger deal.
No, I mean the starting 11-1 for England. Like, saying that. Because it is usually...
Pickford don't get in.
Henderson won't get in. There's two. Chilwell won't get in.
Is Chilwell the starting left back?
It's Luke Shaw.
So don't count because it's Luke Shaw.
We get to keep him then.
Even Maguire starts, I think.
Maguire starts for him.
We don't start for United if everyone's fit.
No, that's true.
That's what I mean. It's like,
yeah, I mean, obviously you take Rice and Bellingham, wouldn't
you? Not everyone. Harry Kane probably starts over Rasmus Højlund for United. He's right back. Over Rasmus Højlund.
Trent or Reece James.
Like, there are exceptions, but there's players in there that don't get in. And we're not that great of a United team. For me, if you can play for Manchester United week in, week out, that is a bigger deal than being able to play for England. I think you are 100% you can play for England if you can play for United. Yeah. I don't think it's like, oh, we can't make the step up for England now. What?
No, there's no step up. It's just, do you fit in the system? Yeah. Do you fit in that style?
Do you know what I mean?
I think the
way Kobbie Mainoo plays, the performance he's been putting in, 100% he could walk into that England team. The team as well, not even the squad. He should be starting. Let's talk about Turk. That's not what I'm trying to say. Let's talk about Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
Because he's renowned enough for losing his head and spitting his dummy out and being... Yeah. He's a bit like Jekyll and Hyde, isn't he, Jurgen Klopp? Mm. And I've been in Jurgen Klopp press conferences when things have been quite rosy. And everyone loves him and he loves the media and everyone wants to give him a hug and it's all jovial and it's all mates together. And then there's times when things are going against him where you can ask him, you know, what did you make of the performance or have you got any injury updates? And he'll lose his mind with you because he's just fuming. I think there's some kid from Norwegian TV or Scandinavian TV who said to him, I'll run through what was said. This was an exchange after the game. So he's doing his post-match sort of press junket where he does all the rounds, he does lots of different reporters. And this has happened with him before, if you remember, a few years ago where he lost it with one of the reporters from the foreign press. So the reporter says, normally intensity is the name of your game, so how come it became so difficult in extra time? Klopp said, bit of a dumb question, I have to say. I don't know how many games we've played recently and how many United exactly played that sport. I'm really disappointed with that question, but you thought, obviously, it's good. So the reporter follows up there with a pretty reasonable response, I think. So too many games, or... And then Jurgen Klopp is already off on his toes, he's walking off. Oh, you don't think that? Come on, you are obviously not in a great shape and I have no nerves for you. What is wrong with you? What do you want now? And the reporter says, how come you're so provocative?
That's fucking embarrassing, that. And to say as well, a couple of weeks ago, Ten Hag was being questioned about Jamie Carragher, Mr. No Manager, dissecting his tactics on Monday Night Football, and he had to sit and methodically respond and break down what he agreed with, what he disagreed with, literally questioning his entire tactical foundation. Maybe rightly, maybe wrongly, but that's the sort of question he's fielding. Then he gets a question saying... You struggled a bit in extra time, and all of a sudden it's a bit of a dumb question. Says you played too many games. What's wrong with you?
In that exchange,
what do you want now?
In that exchange, he's a proper weirdo.
He's a weirdo.
But I feel like there's been worse ones than that as well.
Because that
first question, normally intensity is the name of your game. After you've lost, so how come it became so difficult in extra time? I reckon he thinks it's dumb because he's saying, obviously, it's extra time, so everyone's tired. So you can't give the same intensity. So I guess that's why he's got so... thingy about it, but I feel like the way he took it in the next two like comments was just a bit, there's no need for it. Do you know what I mean?
Do you not remember the one the other week, Ronnie, where it was the reporter and they're at the pitch, side of the pitch, and everything's all right, and the reporter says, you've got a game coming up, 12:30, obviously you're not your favourite kickoff time, and he loses it. The fact you're joking about that tells me you don't understand football or whatever, and you're like, hang on a minute, it's not that deep. And then the reporter spends the next 2 minutes apologising. I'm really sorry if I offended you, I didn't mean to offend you, not allowed. bore off.
Someone might have to just say everything all right at home, Klopp.
Yeah. Well, he's like, leaving in 6 months. He's probably
That's probably why he wants to get enough of the job.
He's had enough of it all. He's had enough of them lot. He's had enough
he's acting like he's lost it.
He's had enough of never winning the quadruple. He's had enough of it all. So he's just, he's in turbo mode. But
at Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Let's face facts. If he wins next match, he'll be happy again and all people will be hugging him.
Yeah.
What's he saying in the comments?
Yeah, Raz Meister, I read that one, didn't I, about Kobbie Mainoo. Yeah. Jane Joe's adopted son, Benjamin. Nice to see you. The court case is still ongoing, isn't it?
Yeah, for custody. We'll see who wins that one, sunshine.
He said, and I like this one, it's a classic. It's a classic, this one. Heard Salah's missing. Last seen in Aaron Bissaka's pocket. Up top, big boy. Pass it on, give me an up top, up top. Come on, there you go. That's banter.
That's up there with when Wan-Bissaka empties his pocket.
Did we give it one of the clocks?
His keys, his phone, and Mo Salah.
And one a of picture.
You always see that.
My wife! Yeah. What's she doing there? Nice.
Stevie B says, hi lads, love the brew on Friday. You were talking about soldiers. Check out Wojtek, a bear in the Polish army. That was fed beer. Oh, it was a bear in the army that was fed beer and cigarettes. That's his favourite soldier.
Nice. We'll have to check that out.
Smoking
Steve's
bear.
Probably watched that one already, but we'll.
He probably has. Steve's probably met him. Juan Martinez says Mainoo is such a. Yeah, exactly. Such a breath of fresh air. Amazing what difference a quality midfielder can make for the team. What a win. The future is looking bright. I love that. One win just makes such a difference, doesn't it, Tim? Like, we win. Villa draw, Tottenham get battered, and all of a sudden we might get FA Cup and top four or top five. And also, have you seen the coefficient just creeping towards the English team's going to get. So as it stands, it's Germany and Spain are the top two. We're third. England are third. It's Italy and Germany, I think. Sorry.
Oh, is it?
Anyway, whoever it is, we're in third. But England have got five of their eight teams still remaining in the competitions. I think the team above us have only got three. So if those five do better than those three, which obviously because there's more teams in it, there's a better chance, then there's a chance fifth will get Champions League football.
Can we make sure, if we're not doing already, we hit the like button? Also, we'll put a link in the chat. Can you make sure that you're subscribing to the channel? We want to get to 750,000 subscribers. We're getting there. Want to get there by the end of the season? You can see there.
We'll be there. Come on.
So there's a little link
there. Get to 740,000 by the end of the stream. We can do that. Go on. I'm Roberto, who's been remember for 39 months. Says Nacho, absolutely fantastic again yesterday. The energy in the 120th minute, remarkable. What a young bunch of talent we have. The future looks good. He was brilliant, Garnacho. I think man of the match for me, just because of that 2 hours of just hard graft.
Insane,
like no one else.
That's one thing I noticed. He was literally. That is an unbelievable asset, though, to your game, to have that level of endurance, because he's sprinting from minute one to minute 120. Yeah. But he actually does it week in, week out. And one of the things that I actually do like about Garnacho, because I did tweet something a few weeks ago quite critical of him, because I thought about a couple of his performances, but I gave him a lot of credit yesterday. And something that I do see in him in terms of his potential, because he still obviously is only 19. But he's got that proper like goldfish memory in the way that he plays football. It's like he might have him make a mistake or he might do a failed action, but he gets the ball 30 seconds later and he tries the same thing again. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And he's almost got that fearlessness and that relentlessness that will take him a long way. And it might be a big statement, but there's something about Garnacho's game, because in terms of, I feel like he's our best forward in terms of his time and his runs in behind and his running in behind ability. I feel like that sort of player that he is, he is going to explode at some point in terms of, I don't know if it's next season or the season after when he's 21, 22.
Ronaldo?
I think he'll explode, and I think Garnacho's capable at some point within the next few years of having like a 30 goal season.
I hope so.
I actually can see that.
I love Garnacho. And I don't know if you could see it yesterday, but the amount of times he sprinted to get back as well, because whenever there was a couple of times when they sort of countered us and we were struggling at times to get back, but he always did. He busted a gut. I think there was one way he tracked back to get to sort of get a put a challenge in with Diaz, I think it was. He just ran his heart. Look at that in the last minute, like you're saying there, 121st minute, and he's sprinting, like he's just the game's just kicked off. It was phenomenal, performance. And you forget he's 19 because he's been around a little while, Garnacho, and because he was like the golden boy of that FA Youth Cup winning side. Obviously, got the goals, and everyone was looking at him, and everyone was like, "Oh, he's gonna be the next big thing." And then he's in the team, then he scored like the winner against Fulham, he's getting off the bench, and he's and then all of a sudden he's in this, he's starting. You can kind of forget. Like when Giggs did it, people forgot he was a teenager. Even Greenwood, when you just forget, don't you? You think, oh yeah, he's almost a man. He's been here. Garnacho's still a kid.
I know.
I mean, he's a year older than Kobbie Mainoo. Like he's not, like you say, Ronnie, he's nowhere near the finished article. But I just hope he keeps going and keeps that sort of
that hunger
and that hunger. Because sometimes players can have this sort of little bit about them, and then they can lose it a little bit. They can sort of tail off somewhat. But with him, I hope he gets going. And like I've said this loads of times, and I keep saying, you know, I was lucky enough to take my lad to go meet him at Old Trafford, Carrington, a few months ago, and he's just a top lad, dead nice, dead friendly, and spent a lot of time with all the youngsters that got to meet him, and I think he's ace.
Yeah, Carrington could end up being like a bit of salvation for the next few years, because we've obviously struggled quite a lot in the transfer market, and we've seen it not work, and sometimes fans often call for it, for the club to look within.
Yeah.
Give the youngsters a chance, because you never know what player or who might blossom. And obviously you've seen how well United have been doing in youth football right about now. You see one of the best under 18 side that there's been in years, and you've got the likes of Shay Lacey and Harry Amas and Ethan Williams and these quality players that people believe could end up breaking into the first team and they end up not just saving the club money in the future in terms of spending 70-80 million on a winger from Napoli or from Inter Milan or from Atletico Madrid, that you've got homegrown talent that can show that level of like almost hunger and want to. And that's what you kind of see in the game of Garnacho and Mainoo. And I think it could be a period where, I'm not going to say like class of 24, like class of 92, but
class of 22.
Do you know what I mean? Class of 22, yeah?
Yeah.
But I get really excited about youngsters coming through. I know sometimes you want to temper expectations a little bit, but I think if we do look at the little youngsters that are doing big things, you could get big rewards like we are seeing now with Garnacho and Mainoo.
Something I think we should talk about as well is how tactically good United were yesterday, or how good the tactics were and how successful they were. I think United made XG at the end of the game, United's was like 4.2. I think Liverpool's was about 2.5.
Like,
which is obviously a lot to concede, but you're playing against a team that's 17 points ahead of you. That I think.
Is that it?
Yeah, exactly. The last time we played him, they had about 28 shots or whatever it was at Anfield. I know we drew, but you know, last season we lost 7-0 against him. And I thought the way that he adapted things, Ten Hag, I thought little bits like Wan-Bissaka on Salah, like how we built out from the back, some of the ways that the centre-backs would split wide and you'd have Dalot coming into the centre to pick the ball up off the goalkeeper, little things like that where you think that's not just an accident. They have to be taught that, because you wouldn't just do that instinctively. I thought some of the structures were very, very good yesterday, and it made our ability to actually create chances against top teams has not been good this season, but that was by far the best we've looked at actually damaging top teams in probably 12 months or so, and I thought it was really, really impressive.
Do you know what impressed me as well? Sorry. You know, you can tell the difference between a manager and a fan.
Yeah.
Like a manager, he's making substitutions, he's making changes, and the crowd are going, "What's he doing this for? Yeah. Why is he doing that? I can't believe he's done that. Oh my God." Like, there was a lot of that going on yesterday. I can't believe he's left McTominay on. I can't believe he's left Rashford on. I can't believe he's moved him into the middle and took off Hoyland. I can't believe he's brought Antony on. Oh my God, he's lost the plot. Now, some of it might have been like minutes and injury, the fact you come back from injury, whatever, but a lot of it was tactical. And you look at the result.
I mean, Antony got a goal. I thought Maguire was.
Maguire was another one people
exceptional
sort of
defensively,
going,
but especially when Liverpool got a little bit desperate.
Yeah.
I thought Maguire just won
that's
everything.
That's in his element, isn't it? That's Maguire.
Yeah, you put the ball in the box.
He's against the wall.
That's him. That is him in the trenches. Let's have it.
A big lump like Darwin Núñez, who a lot of people struggle with in the air.
Yeah.
Maguire, no problems whatsoever. And obviously, I thought Eriksen looked good as well, putting that ball in for Rashford, which should have won us the game in the last second. And then, of course, Diallo was a sub as well and wins the game for United.
I think it was the bravery.
Yeah,
I thought Ten Hag was really brave yesterday with some of the decisions and some of the tactics he did deploy. What credit you can give is I think he proper went for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That formation. So it was Onana in goal. Then we basically had a back three of Dalot, Bruno, and Antony. Then it was like Ericsson and Mount as your midfield two. Then it was sort of McTominay on the left. I can't even remember what it was in there, but basically it was Maguire up front with Diallo. It was Rashford on the right.
You
know what?
Are you sure it was Mount?
I didn't see Mount.
Bless
play,
him, he wasn't fully fit. But like, did you see that one where Maguire went through? And he, I don't know, because I was at the other end of the ground, but he sort of, it looked to me like he sort of lobbed it or whatever.
Yeah,
put your foot through that, man. Just like.
His left foot won it. He looped it. And
I was just like, stick your foot through that. You got nothing to lose.
If you strike across that, even if it's going in or if it's heading towards the back post, the striker can maybe get there, but the loop in the air meant that there was too much time for him to
just
grab it.
Like absolutely thunderbastard it into the back.
It was unbelievable. That formation at the end where Bruno was just pinging balls out, just popping off from the centre back position. And weirdly, they had a ball that they got the ball a few times, Liverpool, and Bruno would just like sweep up and get the ball and then go away. Like it was mad. I think it was a brave way to do it.
Bruno some credit as well, because he has his detractors. And even Marcus, I know he missed that chance, but he kept going and gets his goal. I think some of these players, people look at them and go, like, they get more stick than anyone. I think Bruno and Marcus was the pair of them. But they played their part yesterday. And I was, like, gutted when Marcus didn't get a goal and thought his head was going to drop. And you saw Bruno went over and picked him up.
Yeah.
But they both, like...
You might not know. Do you know he would have been offside?
I know. Sorry. Someone sent me a thing about the VAR and it wasn't my miles.
It was, like...
It was one of the... Half and, it. And to be honest with you, that would have been the worst moment of my life. If we'd have celebrated that last-minute winner from Marcus Rashford...
Just for VAR to be like...
I think they'd have been right.
Oh, shit.
Honestly, I think that everyone would look... Talk about Liverpool losing their heads. The Scousers, we'd have lost our heads. And they'd have won.
Yeah.
Because the crowd would have gone. The players probably would have gone.
The only thing that I said...
No.
Because there was another one where he went in on goal and he was offside and he let it run and he missed. And I was saying on the watch long, even if you are offside, I like my forward to still score.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like almost like a habits thing.
Yeah, you should always put it in the net.
You should always put it in the net and always try and finish.
Yeah, but I honestly can still see that in slow motion as it's going past. Is it Callahan?
I was like that, such a good first touch as well.
First touch was great.
First touch.
I was certain that was going in, and then for it to not hit the net, I couldn't. My eyes, like you said, half a second. It took me to work out what was going on.
Can imagine a stadium with that, because you use that obviously about the game. Can imagine what was it like when that got missed? Because everyone doesn't know what's offside. Do you know what I mean?
Falling to our knees, falling on top of each other.
It was like some sort of tragedy befalling us. Everyone was just like head in the hands. Like, oh,
it was like a renaissance.
It was a bit of a tight atmosphere. Everyone was chatting to each other, like, how has he missed that? No. And I was like, oh my God, like, that was it. Everyone was like, that was our chance. That was it. That would, and then people saying, that would have been one of the greatest moments we've ever had. And it'd be like, I know, imagine that. But the best was yet to come.
It makes it worse as well when, because you think you're going to score, you don't know it was offside, and then he's almost like this lull, and then it goes straight into extra time, and you're like, you're thinking about it.
I think that helped us, the fact that it went into extra time.
Because I was worried that his head would go.
Yeah.
Bruno went over to him, picked him up, and was chatting to him, and I thought, oh, he's going to drop, but he didn't. And like, I thought McTominay got better. I thought he got better as the game went on. I thought early doors, he was a bit all over the gaff.
Them 5Ks, isn't it? Yeah, apparently just 5Ks in like 15 minutes.
8 minutes. It's something ridiculous.
He's a bit of a machine.
He kept going as well. I just feel like yesterday, there's no one really, I want to say, I can't think. To be fair, I love it.
I thought the player that was the least effective was probably Hoyland. But I don't mind that. And it's okay. And he's just come back from injury and that's fine. And he played his part. But even he was okay. And I thought everyone else was... above okay and excellent.
It was
a bad game.
Do you know what with Hoyland though? He he was up against it when he was.
Yeah, of course. I know you're not, but
Van Dijk.
Yeah.
You could see.
I thought, you know what's crazy about that? You're saying Van Dijk. I thought his centre half partner played better than him.
Really?
Kwanzaa.
I thought he did well coming forward. Was it Marcus when he went past him?
I think we conceded off that. I thought Kwanzaa was almost better.
Van Dijk seems to be sort of mopping up a lot, and just that he seems to be like sort of at least commanding his defence.
He's a bit of a presence.
He's a definite presence. You can see them all listening to him and that. And I think behind you saying that, I think it was him and Robertson had a bit of a barney at one point.
You know what's crazy though? Like obviously there's been a lot of talk about Ten Hag and what his future lies at United and whether he'll make it to next season. What you can say is you didn't watch a game yesterday and think these are players that have given up on the manager or have down-toolsed. I think every single player to a man worked hard and wanted to win. And that's one of the things that I have seen in for a majority of the season. I don't think at any point in the season I've saw a team of players that have down tooled or like in previous or given up on a manager. It just seemed like when performances weren't going right, it was more just like a lack of quality, or sometimes we obviously complain about the structure. But I don't think there's ever actually been an issue collectively of a team looking like they've given up on Ten Hag at all.
No, and I think the good thing as well is another sort of underrated version or part of this win isn't that obviously you're into the next round of the FA Cup sort of in the sort of two-dimensional version of it. But I think as well what it does is it gives the players something to fight for week by week because of this sort of, you know, this distant sort of carrot. Like, once the season's over, it's easy to do what we did under Rangnick, where it just sort of crumbles and there's no real hope, it doesn't really matter, there's nothing to play for. Now, we've got another game in the middle of April, which will keep them going. Yeah. And then if you win that, you've got another game at the end of May, which will keep them going. I think it will help the league performances because of the fact that there is, first of all, you want to be starting that game. You know, let's hope and assume that we can beat Coventry. You're desperate to play in the final. And also, you have to stay match fit, you have to stay sharp, because otherwise we're going to get absolutely blasted, or we're going to get embarrassed and lose to Coventry. I think this stops any momentum any lack of momentum that we could see at the end of the season where things just tail off a bit. We can't do that now, and I think that's a big thing as well.
An ideal scenario for me would be have the top four wrapped up by the time of the Arsenal game and then just play the kids.
Yeah.
And rest.
Rest. Rest for Let Arsenal win the league. And just
Let
rest.
Arsenal win the league at Old Trafford.
I don't care. Seriously. That would be preferable to City or Liverpool winning
this but the literal possibilities this season are, obviously we've knocked Liverpool out now, so I think it slightly changes it, but City are on for back-to-back trebles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's horrible.
Liverpool could do
20 times,
and they could probably still do in the Europa League as well.
I don't give a toss about that, to be honest.
And obviously, they won a League Cup as well, so it could be a Mickey Mouse treble that they could do.
Or Cup, who gives a toss about that?
Do you know what I mean? That's exactly it. But then also, you've got Arsenal that could do the double as well, in terms of Champions League and the Premier League.
They aren't doing that, are they? They could.
I don't know, but like, I'm just saying, as a United fan, we've got probably our three biggest rivals, other than maybe Leeds.
Can Villa still win the league?
They could all
messed that up, beating them twice.
I'm just sick of being. It's like, you know, you're outside a club and you can't get in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, everyone's inside on Snapchat, dancing, popping bottles and that, and you can't get in the club. That's what it feels like.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm sick of having to work out the lesser of two evils, or try to pray that Real Madrid do a madness again in the Champions League, or trying to hope that, you know, if City do win the league, they don't win the Champions League as well, or that if, you know, Liverpool do win a trophy, it isn't the league, so they don't catch us. It's always some shit.
Just a little thing, I think people still criticise him for a couple of their goals in terms of tracking his man, Rashford. But Rashford's on 8 goals, 6 assists this season now, which isn't great, and is a big drop-off from last season. But it's not out of the question that he ends on double digits goals and assists, which is, for me, the kind of the benchmark for a decent attacking player that's not your centre-forward. I hope that this season can be one where you look back and go, it felt worse than the numbers sort of said by the end of it. If he ends up on 12 goals, 10 assists, I think from where we were 2 months ago or 3 months ago, that would be a good sort of platform for next season for him as well.
Also, if you look at who he scored against Arsenal, Liverpool, City.
Yeah.
Some big games there. Some big goals.
Liverpool.
I just said, yeah. So he's not just
It's not been a good season for him, and I know that he's got a lot of stick, but we're drifting towards numbers that actually most, whoever, if you're not a United fan, most of your wingers aren't doing that much better.
I think
if
you start comparing him, you've done it a few times, I think, in the past where you've compelled, you've mentioned other players who don't get stick and you put up numbers and you look absolutely.
And it looked.
Jesus, I remember you used to do
that. Yeah. He's making Doku look like a dickhead. It's meant to be great.
No, but it's kind of just how. It's almost. Stats versus eye test is
of course I get that, but that's what I'm saying as more of a building platform for next season rather than like he's actually really good. I don't think he has,
because Doku or Grealish, when you watch them, they look entertaining, they look like, but if you look at the numbers compared to Rashford, Rashford's always got better numbers, but they, and also they're in a winning team, so no one's going,
that's your PR sorted for
you. It's weird because football is like, it can be like, sometimes it's, as I said, you've got stats versus eye test, and you've got sometimes effectiveness versus output. You've got all these things that can kind of, because you can have someone that would have a 6-game period where for the majority of that, those 6 games, their performance throughout it could be quite poor throughout the game, but they get like the odd goal or assist
Jackson got the worst hat-trick of all time.
Yes,
for Chelsea.
Exactly.
But he somehow got three goals.
that plays really well throughout 5 games, but just don't get the goal or the assist that comes their way. Yeah. But then the way that the new age is now, people then go, that's all that matters, so he's
people
a better player and he's played
stats.
Better.
One thing I do want to say, and this does need to be said, the best goal of the game yesterday, the most difficult goal of the game, was Antony's. I thought that finish from him, for a man who doesn't have a right foot, he's got two defenders on his back, he gets the ball facing away from goal, to spin and put that in the bottom corner to equalise the game, to take us into extra time, I thought that was a fantastic finish. It reminded me of like a, like obviously they're not the same type of player at all, but just that action to get it in the net was a sort of Van Nistelrooy would do 10, 15 of them a season. It was a proper centre-forwards goal, and the sort of goal I don't think I've ever seen Antony score before.
I think he needs a little bit of credit for that.
And then on his weak foot, it was a very good goal, that.
Then immediately after, he's literally went down the line and tried to cross the ball with his right foot as well, and we won a corner off it.
What's going on?
It's almost he looked down and he was like, it's there.
Maybe he's had some sort of like,
it's like
shock therapy,
some sort of
or
glitch or something.
Yeah, did you see bad happening to him?
I showed it, I'm not showing Joe yet, but I will show you the tweet that someone tweeted, like a video. It was a video of Eminem from the music video with Dr. Dre, and he's like, when you believed in me, obviously you can't play it now, but I feel like you find it hilarious, and it's basically saying, Antony Tanag.
This isn't a sort of a comeback story. I still think, obviously, he's down the pecking order, but I think, on a one-off performance, I thought he was good yesterday.
If he helps us beat Manchester City in the FA Cup final, it'd be all right.
Yeah. I said this to my dad when he came on. I said he scores in big games, and someone next to us went, like what? And I was like, well, he scored against City, Arsenal and Barcelona last season. It's not bad. I know it's not, you know, but to say he scored 7 goals for us or 8 goals for us, 4 of them have been against the most difficult teams we've played since he arrived.
Yeah.
You have to give him a little bit of credit for that. Like, I do think that, you know, he's
it
not
kinda
a good
gets
player,
that thing
on his
where
day
where people think he just can't do anything at all.
Yeah.
And he's like, he obviously can. He just doesn't do it often enough, and I think that's a fair comment. Wally the week time.
It's hard, isn't it, on such a beautiful, positive day, Jay? Do we really want to dwell in the world of the Wally, this bubbling mire?
Should we all give it the
shit show?
Should we all give it
the Wally?
Should we all give it the spill? I mean, Carragher.
Interesting.
People forget that. It also goes under the radar, doesn't it?
It's got to be Klopp.
Someone said that he was after the United game, he was phlegming at the mouth.
Oh, nice. Do you know what, though?
I
kind of found it all just tiring with the whole Sancho liked Rashford's post and commented on it, and then Rashford replied and everyone losing their head over it. I think the mates, you know the mates.
Yeah.
Just because Sancho ain't
playing. Bro, I feel like 90% of the United fan base despise Sancho.
I know. Like,
from what I can see.
And I just feel like, who gives a shit? Do you know what I mean? Like, really? And then Marcus was getting stick for replying to it. And I think they're obviously friends.
And still teammates.
Yeah.
Yeah, they literally play for the same team.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
It just doesn't bother me. I can get quite annoyed at certain players when they do certain things. But that's meaningless. Two mates, one of them obviously is not working out, but he's got moved on for temporarily or whatever. But they're still in contact. So, yeah, I just think people that want to make that into a drama.
Little beef makers
online. Yeah, like, you know, you can have a bit of a collective volley to wait for that.
I'm going to go Klopp, I just think this whole thing of, this is the farewell tour. You should be signing autographs and, like, Elvis in Vegas, giving it everything he's got, getting dabbed on the piano while he's still playing, like getting the sweat taken off his brow. I think Klopp should be doing, he should be the nicest version of himself. Yeah. Not storming off because someone said, you looked a bit tired in extra time. And you're saying, what is wrong with you? You're not in great yourself.
It makes it,
come on, man.
It makes it worse, you know, because you know it's your last season.
Yeah.
Do you remember, was it like the Real Madrid game under Fergie when Nani got sent off? And I think Fergie couldn't do the post-match interview because he was too angry.
He knew.
Like, because it's his last
chance. We didn't know yet, though, did we?
No,
he had announced it, but he will have known, of course.
So I think there's that thing of like, Klopp, this is his last chance to win a second FA Cup, to win that quadruple.
Yeah.
And it's gone. So he's obviously fuming. Do you know what I mean?
People in the chat calling him Jürgen Strop, which I have to respect. Yeah, that's it. Ronaldo, who's your volley of the week?
One there.
I'll just give it. who can I give it? I kind of wanted, because I did send for Van Dijk.
Yeah. I saw you just said that we parked a bus on his fat forehead.
You came like,
you just lost like an eight-year-old. I am in year six and I'm going to be the biggest troll.
It's like when my lad wants my head was gone. Someone on my phone. My head, right, my phone, and he's gone on my Twitter. Your forehead.
Because literally,
you can't even count to four.
Since I left the studio yesterday after what, I've not been home. So that's...
What a night.
Literally,
what did you just go out and get drunk?
My head was gone. I didn't
just show
him. My boy was here. My boy Ramal was here in town. I was like, yo, I went to his. I was like, I'm buzzing. I just went on Twitter and I was just after the Scousers for about 2 hours, just loving it.
I've never seen a troll in real life talk to me about how much they just love it. People always say, like, you know, these people who are sort of going out of their way to troll you, these are actually the saddest people. These are the people who have to get sort of happiness from upsetting others. And Ronaldo is just loving it.
One of my other most liked tweets from that same moment was just me just tweeting, Scouse tears bring me so much joy.
You just know people like it. Listen, we're going to wrap up there. I'm going to be back tomorrow with the news. We've got a big interview as well with a tier one journalist. So make sure you are hitting like, share, and subscribe. But before we wrap up, Joseph's got some more comments. Yeah,
Colin Wilmot says, buzzing after yesterday's win. And we had the bonus of resting Johnny Evans for the bigger games. Very good stuff.
That very good point. Well made, man. Johnny Evans, absolute legend.
Oh, and Fergal McClements, to round us out, I think this is a nice one. It was a mad game yesterday.
It
wasn't. Wasn't it?
It was a mad game.
It was a mad game.
Well done to Mr. Diallo.
Scouse was a bit mad.
Yeah.
A mad.
Wrap it up. Right, you need to go home and get some sleep. You fucking hell.
Anyway, that's been Diallo.
What a mad day.
Diallo. United and that. That's been Ronaldo Brown. You know where to go and find him on the X app. That's been Joe Smith. Go and check him out on the Sloppy Joe's podcast. You know where to find me as well, Jay Martin. Make sure you are hitting like, share, and subscribe. This has been a Paddock Podcast. Thanks for watching.
Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.